that Portland has created mm-hmm. throughout the years of places where people have the space to deconstruct stuff, right. make stuff and dig deeper into technologies that we normally don't have access to because it's corporate and proprietary and et cetera.
Right. So two amazing chances to get to hear Becky as a radio activist when she's not a development director, but please do reach out to her at development@kbu.org if you have any questions.
Yes,
thank you,
touch.
Becky.
Thanks.
And thank you all for listening to News from the Boo. And stay tuned.
The time is 5:59. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Right to Survive Radio is coming up next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Passport to Empowerment, Saturday, October 14th at the North Warehouse in Portland. Passport to Empowerment is Green Empowerment's 20-year anniversary party that brings together Portland's international development, sustainability, and social justice leaders for a tour of Green Empowerment's history of renewable energy and water projects in remote villages. The event features keynote speaker Christine Irvin, Peruvian food, drinks, music and dance performances, an auction, dancing, and more. Again, that's Passport to Empowerment, Saturday, October 14th at 1 p.m. at the North Warehouse, 723 North Tillamook Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do have the power to break the chains.
Okay, this is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM, and we have a packed show today. Today we're in a good mood because it's raining. We back to Portland the way it's supposed to be.
This is Lisa Fay, your co-host, and I'm very excited about our interviews tonight. We have two half-hour devotions. We have two events coming up, one this coming Saturday and one on November 4th. And we're excited today because we are first gangway with our event that we're partnering with Multnomah County and Street Roots and Portland Harbor and Bonneville Environmental, a lot of really great groups. And we're here today with...
I'm Kathleen Guillose with the Bonneville Environmental Foundation.
Hi, my name is Adrienne Basie. I'm also with BEF.
Welcome, ladies. Very happy to have you on the show. Let's start off by asking you, what is this collaboration about and how it came together?
So our event is occurring on October 23rd. We're actually full in terms of capacity, but we wanted to come on and tell you all about it. It's an exciting event called Serving Unhoused People and Sustaining Our Natural Areas. The partners involved have been working on this project for a little over a year. It came together maybe with a little magic and serendipity. In my position with Bonneville Environmental Foundation, I get to support a number of watershed councils throughout the Willamette Basin. And this issue of how to deal with unhoused people and sustain natural areas, how to protect the investments that have been made while also being compassionate, came up early on at a meeting in 2016. And I started talking with people like Israel Barrett, Street Roots, who led me to new people and new ideas. I came across a training opportunity for trauma-informed care, and then all the pieces fell into place. We have an amazing woman from Portland State University's Trauma-Informed Oregon, Mandy Davis, Tosh Schatz and Robin Davis with Multnomah County, Adrian, who's working with us at Bonneville Environmental, Cassie Cohen at Portland Harbor Community Coalition, Ibrahim, you and Lisa, Right to Survive, and Michelle Emmons with Willamette River Keeper, and then our newest partner, Quinn Calling. And so it was so easy to get each partner on board because the concepts just resonated with people. And I've been getting phone calls from natural resource specialists saying, thank you, we need to start talking about this issue. We need to get solutions and compassion in place. And there's a lot already happening. That's great.
Okay. So, Adrian, can you let the audience know your name, your title, what you do, what you don't like to do, and how you got involved in it?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Adrian Basie. I'm a consulting ecologist with Bonneville Environmental Foundation. I'm a trained botanist, and I've spent a lot of time working outdoors and working with our natural areas. My specific focus is on rare plants and uncommon plants within urban areas. That's an interest of mine, and also restoration work.
And so is it true that you can live off berries and figs? I mean, didn't the oatmeal guy do that?
You can find amazing foods everywhere in the world. There's things like Douglas fir has a huge amount of vitamin C in it, for instance. So yeah, there's all kinds of options out there.
So I just wanted to say that because we have the houseless community living in an environment that not too often they can get to have good natural nutritional food to eat. And if I'm glad you're here because maybe you can tell us some other things we can eat that's nutritional. However, this has been a big controversy everywhere in this country, in this city, in this state about houselessness and how the houseless community is blamed for destroying the rivers, the environment, property values. And so I want to see the connection on this event that we are having later on this month. So how did is this why you all decide to have this intersectionality connection? Or?
Well, I think I'd reframe it a little bit. You know, the two groups aren't distinct, people who love nature and unhoused people and people who advocate for them. We actually think there's a lot of complementarity that we haven't really, seized. Uh-huh. And both groups tend to operate maybe in a dynamic of scarcity. There's so much concern over our diminishing natural resources and how it supports our communities. There's so much concern around diminishing resources to support unhoused people. Sometimes those two communities can be put at loggerheads, and we think there's opportunities to change that and work together in synergy and partnership.
Okay. And Adrian, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add is that people that are working in the natural areas are very concerned about the health of the natural areas. Mm-hmm. People that need to find shelter in natural areas also can have that concern and see the value of having these areas. And so finding the common space between those two groups is something that we aren't able to do as often as we would like. And trying to find that commonality is what we're going for.
Can I say one other quick thing? We asked a number of questions of our registrants, who are all natural resource professionals throughout the basin. And the first question was, what do you want to learn out of this event? And the biggest answers, well over like 75%, were we want to learn compassionate and practical engagement skills, and we want to know more information and resources about how to support unhoused people. So we think there's already a lot happening that is supportive, and we want to build that and spread the message to policymakers and others.
Great. You're listening to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial with Kathleen and Adrian from the Bonneville Foundation. Give us a call at 503-231-8187 and ask any question you want but my age.
For those that don't know, that was a women's warrior song from the Lakota tribe, or Lakota Nation, I'm sorry. And that song was chosen because part of what we're doing today is talking about the environment, as well as houseless people and how they can cohabitate along with the environment without being a harm to it and respectful of the environment. Today we're talking with Adrian and Kathleen, and we are partnering with them on a program in November 4th. Am I wrong?
It's actually October 23rd, but pretty close.
October 23rd. Oh,
I can't tell.
October 23rd, and we are bringing people together to talk about these such issues and environmental impacts that are going on in not just in our community, but communities across the state and this country. Would either one of you like to talk about how you came to the decision that you wanted to include Right to Survive in the planning and execution of this powerful event?
It actually came up early on. A number of people, I'd heard Ibrahim, both your name and Lisa's name, you need to talk to Ibrahim, you need to talk to Lisa. And finally, a colleague shared your email address, Ibrahim, so I reached out. The other piece that was important is we wanted to keep the audience for this first event kind of natural resource professionals to create that discussion space around these tough issues. But we also recognized that it was important to include, you know, deeply rooted advocates for unhoused people so that the conversation didn't spin off into a direction that wasn't really grounded. And so we're hoping that we can continue to do that, and it's been an honor to work with you both. So we're really grateful for your partnership.
503-231-8187. If you have any questions, call now. Don't be afraid. You have our permission.
Are there tickets still available for our upcoming event?
There are not, but my contact information I can make available. We are hoping this is not a one-off, that there'll be follow-ups. We're going to share the outcomes of the day. We initially imagined 50 people coming. It quickly got to 85. We capped our capacity at the venue. I have a waiting list of like 30 people plus and continual calls. So we're going to share information. We're hoping this is going to spin off to future events. And so, yeah, stay in touch. If this is of interest, we'll figure out a way to share my info.
We'll also be having a reporter there from Street Roots who will be writing up a short article about this opportunity and some of the lessons learned and some of the discussion had. So that's something to keep an eye out for in the Street Roots.
And would it be live stream?
No, I don't. It won't. But I believe a number of the pieces are going to be recorded. But I don't think we have the capacity for live streaming.
And the other organizations in here is Portland Harbor Community Coalition. Mm-hmm. I know Cassie Korn and I know Right to Survive is a part of that organization, but can you tell apart what the Superfund or Portland Harbor Community Coalition is having in this event?
So Cassie is going to be sharing some of the lessons, some of the successes that they've experienced. You know, unfortunately, with recent decisions from our administration, some of the funding is maybe hitting the brakes in terms of Superfund investments. And so that's been a difficult trajectory in our policies. But we see that as a success in engaging unhoused people, in having policy impact, in affecting our broader community and building new alliances, and we want to share that.
Okay, and this event is an all-day event, and we're going to have breakout sections and food. We're going to have food, right?
There'll be delicious food. There'll be a breakout session at the end to kind of debrief ideas and next steps.
And what do you hope to gain from this event and this gathering?
I'm hoping that each individual is able to take away one thing that they can affect about their interactions with people experiencing homelessness in natural areas. So whether that's, we have everybody attending is from the level of technicians that are out in the field every day to management and some people that are influencing policy. So we have a broad range of people that'll be participating in the day's actions, and I'm hoping that each of them will be able to come away with something that they can modify about their interactions or their thinking for the future.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Multnomah County is playing a role in the event?
So we have two amazing trainers in assertive engagement. So folks who are working with people on strategies for engagement with people who maybe have experienced trauma or who are otherwise vulnerable in ways that are strength-based, that can help, you know, through research shows, compassionate engagement, you can be enforcing a rule and still have a positive impact on another individual. And that's the kind of messaging that those individuals are going to be sharing. Maybe doing a little role playing of scenarios that natural resource people might experience in the field.
Okay. I'm always leery when we're dealing with the county or the city because, you know, as advocates for the houseless, we've heard many stories that show that they need some training in some areas. So,
and that's why we tried to have a broad representation of people coming to the workshop as well, both teaching the workshop and attending the workshop, so that we can have that broad experience, the range of experience, but also the range of knowledge and information shared. Mm-hmm. So we've got people from the county, and we've got people from nonprofits and for-profits and environmental organizations all working together to bring this, to try and get out of this us versus them type of mentality, right? We're all here. We all have the same land that we're working with, whether we're finding shelter on it or we're trying to maintain the environmental integrity of it. And so in sharing that land, we also can share our experiences with each other.
Okay, 503-231-8187 is the call-in number here at KBOO on Right to Survive Radio Show, 90.7 FM on your radio dial. We're going to go to a small break with music and come back to question Kathleen and Adrian from the Bonneville Foundation.
Things and what they used to be, oil wasted on the oceans, never from our seas, fish full of mercury.
Thank you for joining us again, 503-231-8187. It's a call-in number here at KBOO, and you're listening to Right to Survive Radio. We're here with Kathleen and Adrian at the Bonneville Foundation, and they're putting on an event this October 23rd. It's called Serving Unhoused People and Sustaining Our Natural Areas. We know there is no place for the houseless community to go, mainly because they're being swept and moved, and nobody planned on having people live on the streets. The American dream says you buy a house with a white picket fence. However, if you don't acquire that dream, what happens to you? Mm-hmm. So we notice people are moving into the natural areas, the natural environment. So Adrian and Kathleen, whichever one you want to answer, we like, how would this affect the houseless community having a safe place to sleep or to reside?
Well, I don't think we can give any answers at this point, but I can say that some of the ideas that we've been hearing about from participants and from some of our co-partners relate to things like, how can we provide restroom facilities that meet the needs of different agencies, but also treat people with dignity and provide them with the services that they need? I think there's been a reckoning in recent years with the natural resource sector where folks are like, this is not going away. It seems to be growing every year. Vacant lots in the city of Portland are all now filled with cranes and cement and buildings. All these spaces where people used to be sheltering, now folks are being pushed into these natural areas. At the same time, you know, we're anticipating huge population growths in the coming decade, and you have to say, where are people to go? So we don't have great answers yet, but we're building compassion and partnerships so that we can start forging them together.
We have a caller on. Caller, answer your course. Ask your course. Say your name and who you are. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay. So I was wondering, I wouldn't want to put any additional pressure on our natural areas, but where are some of the closest, and is there any bus access to these places that sound really cool?
Can you explain more? I'm not sure I understand.
You want to know where to go, right? That's what it is. You want transportation. I guess the natural area, Adrian, you want to answer that?
Sure.
The silent pause.
Sure. I think we have such a great wealth of natural areas in the Portland metropolitan area, and those are currently managed by agencies like the City of Portland and Oregon Metro, and then we've got the City of Gresham, and then the outlying cities and counties. So each of those agencies has their own natural areas and wild spaces. And so looking for where to find those would be contacting or looking for the information either on the websites or people that work for those various agencies.
Our effort is also basin-wide. And we've got amazing green spaces through Oregon Parks and Recreation, the Forest Service. So throughout the whole Willamette Valley, we're really blessed with the awesome natural resource spaces that we've got.
Ideally, it'd be a nice natural place that has recycling service and bus route, no?
Yeah, totally. And actually, this is a part of some of the planning efforts of agencies to connect people so that there's public access to these natural spaces. Restrooms, picnic spaces, all of these things are viewed as key aspects of making these places more accessible and inclusive. It's a journey, and we're always working to kind of unpack our biases and other parts of living in a complex society that can help us bring more people into these spaces. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you.
We had a question before the caller in, and you was going to answer it. Do you remember the question? would this awareness affect places where houseless people have no other choice but to reside in the natural areas, in the woods, by the rivers, and the thing that people are complaining about, how they being trashed. Let's be real, trashed up. Mm-hmm. So the question is, will this effect, with this awareness, start bringing more attention to the houseless community in the natural areas?
We hope so. You know, trash pickup, sharps mm-hmm. disposal, human waste facilities, right. all of this has been integral to these discussions. Again, I can't promise. The jurisdictions are different. Mm-hmm. The policy opportunities are different. But we're hoping we can start talking about these together as a unified community.
Mm-hmm. And these are outcomes that, you know, when you ask if I want to be a part, these are the outcomes that I was hoping can happen because, you know, we meet. I mean, Portland is a good city that meet. You have meetings here, and I should know. You know, I go to like sometimes four meetings that's overlapping in a day, back to back to back. But after we meet, what is done about? What do people do? What actions are being done, you know, being implemented to helping those that can't afford housing?
Yeah. So I think this topic is at this intersection of so many different things. You've got policy, mm-hmm. you've got city policy and parks policy. Mm-hmm. You've got issues around housing and cost of housing and cost of living. And then you've got issues around public health, mental health, and physical health. And unfortunately, with all of these different intersections, each person that's discussing this issue in a meeting might only be discussing their side of that story. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of what we're trying to get to is that no matter what the policy, no matter what the situation for people experiencing homelessness, mm-hmm. we can come to those people with compassion. We mm-hmm. can come to those people understanding how power dynamics are playing in the interactions that we're having. And we can come to an understanding that it's not an us versus them, that there are ways that we can interact that can benefit the situation.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, we also want to respect and acknowledge that there are people who are already doing amazing things, and we want to hear more about what they're doing. We want to kind of honor that contribution and share it so that it can be spread. These are deep societal issues that have developed over many decades, and we're not thinking we're going to change them quickly, but we want to start at the personal level and move up from there. But we also do think that there are tremendous opportunities for partnership. And we hope to make some serious inroads in the near future, at least with targeted pilots of some new ways of operating.
Yeah. And just because you can't make this event on the 23rd of October, that don't mean you can't get involved. So can you explain how people can get involved and stay involved, that want to get involved, that thinking about getting involved or trying to get involved?
Yeah, I think one of the first ways that people can get involved is to start understanding where we fit into the puzzle mm-hmm. and where other people fit into the puzzle, and trying to understand those other people as best as possible. So you've got great organizations like Street Roots that are doing important work on the ground, trying to communicate. You've got various advocacy organizations. I think just tapping into those agencies and trying to hear those stories and learn those perspectives is definitely the first place to start.
Mm-hmm. And when tapping into those agencies, we need to let's educate each other on them, because what people are used to doing traditionally is not working these days. And again, I think we slapped on this epidemic of houselessness, and we need to put our differences behind us and learn to help one another, bring the humanity spirit back in this country, in this state, in this city. So to tap into these agencies, to stay involved, do you have information on how they can contact you, or are you all that going to head this, or let the municipalities take over and then head it?
Hopefully it'll be a combination. A piece of the closure is going to be identifying next steps, and we do plan to release kind of a summary of the day. As Adrian mentioned, this will be hopefully profiled in a Street Roots paper. There we will definitely be able to point people to kind of contact info.
So if people want to get on the waiting list for a follow-up, event. Mm-hmm. Is there a place they can go?
There is. We don't have a nice fancy website. I can give folks my email address, and there is a link that I can send people. But my email is KGUILLO, Z like zebra, E like elephant, T like Tom, at B-E-F.org. It's a mouthful. But yeah, we are really hoping to have substantive next steps. We think there'll be multiple parties involved. Hopefully different groups might take the lead on different mm-hmm. efforts. There's some exciting pilots happening with the City of Portland and mobile restroom units and other ideas underway. We're hoping to link them together so the messages get out louder and stronger, and we can build coalitions to advocate for these core services that all people need and deserve. And we also want to advocate for these special spaces that provide solace to all of us, these natural areas that are so critical. They are precious few acres left in our basin, and we need to steward them, and we think we can do that together.
Good. 503-231-8187 is the call-in number. If you have any questions to ask our guests, the environmental and the natural area people are standing up and fighting for everybody's right, not just yeah. one right, but everybody's right. And everybody have a right to share space, but it's how we do it. And so this is their way of showing on getting dumpsters and porta potties and educating the people what's nutrition and for you to eat if you can't have nothing, if you don't find nothing else to eat. This is a good thing. This is a good event. And we're going to switch over to another event that's happening this Saturday, but we hope you all stay for more questions. If you like, sure. you're welcome to stay. So we're going to take a music break right now.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles. Welcome back to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial, and we are switching gears a little bit. We just finished our segment with Kathleen and Adrian, who both work for environmental groups, and talking about an event that is coming up on October 23rd that connects the houseless community, the county, and a number of agencies that are involved in the environment, and how we can both understand and share the environment with the unhoused community. Now, as we switch gears, we have Bonnie and Anthony here, and they are here for an event that's going to take place October 14th, this coming Saturday, from 9 to 3 in the afternoon, and it's called Stand Together Under One Roof. Bonnie and Anthony, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name's Bonnie McKinley, and I'm one of the organizers of Stand Together Under One Roof.
My name's Anthony Benchvengo. Thank you so much for having us on your show.
That's a good radio voice.
And I'm an organizer with Portland Tenants United.
Okay, and this event, can you tell us about this event, Bonnie?
Sure. We decided that we wanted to bring as much awareness and unity to the activist community in Portland and people who wanted to perhaps become active. We've held a number of action workshops, and then sort of leaving people with the idea of, well, now where can we go? And so we sort of look at this as two audiences, audience of people who maybe aren't engaged actively and are maybe out there feeling very alone, wringing their hands, and then people who are quite active and maybe a little bit too single-focused on one particular issue. I myself work all the time on climate issues, and I really feel a need to have a greater understanding and awareness of the groups that are working for racial, social, economic, and other environmental justice groups.
Okay, Andrew.
As a tenant. Organizer. For me, I feel that, this is the reason why we're, part of the coalition doing this event and we're participating in this, is that I feel it's very important to show the ways in which environmental justice and environmental activism is extremely relevant and tied to housing justice activism and vice versa. As global climate change accelerates, winters are only going to get colder here and summers are only going to get hotter. And so as we have over 4,000 people unhoused on our streets, which is a complete travesty, that's only going to become a more and more serious health crisis with extreme weather. So we need to attack the root causes of this. And that includes the fact that the rents are too dang high. People are getting evicted for no cause. And it's very hard for a lot of people to find housing due to restrictive screening criteria, among other things. So the more that the environmentalists who are already worried about global warming help out with that, and the more that we can help out with those struggles, the better, because it's very interconnected.
Okay, we got a caller on, and can we go to that caller? Caller, can you introduce yourself and ask your question? Yes, hello.
Hello, I'm Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
I live in North Portland.
How are you doing today?
I am just dangerously well.
Okay, that's dangerous.
The intersectionality, which obviously is a popular word these days, but the intersectionality of all these issues is something worth noting. In fact, for an old guy such as myself, the intersectionality of the notion of having public facilities commonly available is something that my prostate alone would enjoy. When I go through the neighborhoods, and I'm through a lot of neighborhoods on every day on a bicycle, when I encounter neighborhoods where some neighbor is having a rehabilitation of their house, a renovation or something, and so they've set up a porta potty outside their home, I say, oh, thank God for this, because I need one just about every two blocks. Now, the intersectionality is what I'm talking about when I talk about people who are ordinary folks, housed and unhoused. And indeed, these things will draw us together. Now, I'm not saying that a porta potty will bring us together, but it certainly would be a step in the right direction. And I hope you appreciate my call, and I appreciate you taking it.
I appreciate your call. But do you have a question to ask, or you were just agreeing to the way people are, organizations, people, groups are coming together to under one roof and realizing we need to fight side by side?
Yes. Yes, of course. Now, I also understand that organizing human beings is a lot like herding cats, and it can be very difficult, and I have nothing but props for those who put themselves forward to actually bring people together. And on many issues, we don't see these intersections, and it's about time we do. And thank you so very much for what you're doing. I hope you continue.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for your phone call.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay. So, Bonnie and Anthony, what are some of the groups that are coming together this Saturday for Stand Together Under One Roof?
Well, I guess I should mention Right to Survive first.
Yippee!
Right to Survive is one of the groups. I'm speaking on KBOO Radio, and KBOO Radio is.
Hey!
Yes. Civil Liberties Defense Center, Neighbors for Clean Air, Anthony's Portland Tenants United, Climate Jobs PDX. We have a double session. All of our sessions are 20 minutes, but there's a double session with a panel from the Pacific Northwest Council of Water Protectors. And they've been very involved in organizing this event also. The NAACP, Millennio, Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project, SEIU Oregon Care Works, BARC, Portland 350 PDX, Bernie PDX, and just a number of organizations, Healthcare for All Oregon, and a special session from Portland Just Energy Transition, which is a really fine example of collaboration between economic, social, and racial justice. And I just want to say that we will be at, and this event, unlike Kathleen's and Adrian's event, is absolutely not closed. It's open and free to all. We have childcare. We start at 9 o'clock. We'll have tabling all day from close to 40 organizations. Besides the presenting organizations, there are people that are just tabling from a number of organizations. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a panel. We'll have Francisco Aguirre from the Immigrants' Rights and VOS, and we'll have two youth speakers, Calandra Anderson, clean air activist, and Ella Schreiner, who's been working on shutting down fossil fuels, Soren Impey, who's with Portland Tenants United and a biking advocate also, and Ibrahim will be here. So I want to say thank you to him. And we'll have moderator with Ryan Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. So we have that panel, and then we'll move into 20-minute sessions where people can go to 10 different rooms. And so there'll be four sessions throughout the day. We'll have hip-hop artist, native hip-hop artist, Freddie Flopez, sharing his beats, and we'll also have Quincy Davis, another fine hip-hop artist. We're really honored to have them. And we'll have a keynote with Gregory McKelvey. So I sure hope people can come out.
So what are some of the goals and outcomes that you hope, or we all hope to have at the end of Saturday's event?
Yeah, well, I think that one of the most important outcomes that we can have is that, you know, this very diverse group of people who will be coming to this event, as Bonnie said, a mixture of people who are currently trying to figure out ways to get more involved in local organizing and people who already are very involved, will come out with a strong sense of all the important ways that they can plug into these issues that, you know, they will also walk out with a sense are extremely connected. We want people to be able to see the connections between immigration justice and housing justice and environmental justice and racial and gender justice, and to not view these as these kind of, you know, separate compartments, but as areas where there's a strong need for organizations to work together, and, you know, anyone is very capable of plugging in and making a difference.
503-231-8187 is the call-in number. If you have any questions, please call in. We're going to take a small break and listen to some good music.
Appropriate for the weather that's going on outside tonight. Coming back together into our show tonight, we are talking with Bonnie McKinley and Anthony Benchvingo.
Benchvingo.
I'm sorry.
You're closer than most.
I'm sorry. And we're talking about Staying Together Under One Roof, which is taking place this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Would you like to tell us where your event is and remind I'll remind everybody. It's open and free to everybody. There'll be childcare. Will there be an interpreter?
No, there will not. hopefully we'll do this again, and we've tried to arrange that, but we weren't able to do that. So I'm regretful of that.
So where is it going to be located?
It's just really great. We've been given a church for a day. The congregation of Rose City Park Presbyterian Church has donated this facility with almost every single room. It's very generous. We owe a lot to Pastor Dave Darnick and his staff and congregation. The location is just really right across the street from the Hollywood Farmers Market at 44th and Sandy. The official address, if you want to look up on Google Maps or something, it's 1907 Northeast 45th, but the entrance is on 44th. So,
okay,
please come.
Okay. I noticed that with Kathleen and Adrian event and Anthony and Bonnie's event, it said a lot of organization is coming together. And the two and everybody is coming from different groups, like social, racial, mm-hmm. environmental justice. I'm starting to see the people from the environmental come, and that's good, because when I was at a PACC meeting Monday, I always knew that each time a presidential administration changed, the EPA members changed, and so we worked 8 years to get them. EPA to get the country to clean up 8% of the Willamette River and the Columbia River. And I always quoted that, me brushing one teeth and say, hey, my whole mouth is clean. You know? but they squashed that and want to start all over again. And with enough environmental justice and EPA people stepping up and now they saying that's the houseless people that's polluting the land, polluting the rivers, messing up the environment. When these organizational industrial people, industrialization been polluting all this time, why ain't nothing been pointed at them? Mm-hmm. Why is they not being made to clean this up? Why they can't pay for the porta potties and the trash bags? Why they can't give the houseless people job and patrol the beach and pick up cans and broken glass and stuff from people from partying? Anyone have an answer to that, or want to elaborate on, or want to talk about it? Because you are, I mean, the environmental is represented here in this room. Am I right? I mean, and you all can come back on to speak about it. It's just something that I see was being together in these events. Okay.
Well, I'll just quickly jump in and say that's a key piece of why in our event we're focusing a little bit on systemic oppression. Mm-hmm. So this is, we look through a little lens when we see the world, and the world is a lot bigger, and we need to reframe our understanding. What's the measure of a CSO event, a combined sewer overflow event, mm-hmm. as compared to some number of people in a natural area also using it as a restroom? It doesn't mean we need to, you know, encourage anything, but it means let's put some lenses on this issue that help us see truth and support the most vulnerable people among us.
And I know why the Portland Tennis Union is here, because if we can help people to stay inside, guess what? It won't be people outside. So you want to say what your role is, what the Portland Tennis role in this event, and how you want to have an impact and take away from?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm not in the core group of organizers. Mad props to Bonnie and the other core organizers for the work they've done on this event. It's going to be an incredible event. We're really honored to be participating in it. Every organization that's going to be participating in this event is going to be tabling sort of in the main area, and then there are also going to be a series of breakout sessions, and we're leading two breakout sessions during different parts of the day. One in the first session at about 11, and the other in the second session about 1 p.m. So come at both of those be there at both those times. We also, again, we'll have one of our members speaking in the main panel. And what we are hoping to get out of it is Something that's very important to us is, you know, being a part of these coalitions, not just in terms of a single day event, but being a part of coalitions in general. A lot of the most important work that we've been able to do, you know, whether it was, you know, passing emergency renter relocation assistance in Portland, mm-hmm. Or the campaign for House Bill 2004 to ban no-cause evictions and legalize local rent control around the state, which we didn't end up winning, but we came really close, and that movement's going to keep on building. We did that through coalition work. And so we want to really take this as an opportunity for us to make more contacts and find ways that we can keep on working in the future with other environmental and other organizations.
Good.
Okay, we're going to go to a quick music break, and then we'll be coming back with more from Bonnie and Anthony.
Just like the city that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. I like the forest looking for the rain.
Welcome back. We're talking with Bonnie McKinley and Anthony.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go for it.
I'm sorry, I'm botching your last name big time. We're talking about Stand Together Under One Roof, which is a free event this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And there is a wealth of information that will be happening this Saturday. It is taking place at 1907 Northeast 45th Avenue and Hancock, near Sandy Boulevard at Rose City Park Presbyterian Church. Child care will be provided for the day.
And food.
Everyone
coffee.
Loves free food.
Coffee.
Tea.
And there is a wealth of environmental and racial and social justice groups coming together to talk about the intersectionality between the environment and race and social justice and climate justice, and how we can all work together to unify our voice and build a coalition, a representation of the community we want to live in, the environment we want to live in. And Bonnie, will you talk a little bit again about the breakout sessions that are going to happen?
Sure. So we have 4 breakout sessions throughout the day. And then again, the tables will be open. So we encourage our organizations to tell their stories, tell how people can get involved if that's what they want, just to give us background and so we can connect and they have an opportunity to highlight their successes and ways that they are working ahead. One of the examples is we have Loretta Guzman from the Bison Coffee House in the Cully neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And she's one of our panelists, and we sort of begged her to come because she was very willing, but we were very encouraged to have her, heard her story on KBOO Radio and knew her because of her work in collecting medical equipment, supplies, and money to send to Standing Rock. And they opened the Bison Coffee House to political conversation, and you know, it's not an organization, but it's a perfect example of working in the community. And so we have organizations, a few of the ones I didn't mention were the Columbia Riverkeeper and folks talking about the Clean Energy Jobs Bill, Friends of the Columbia Gorge. Anthony, did you have something to add on that?
I noticed that this summer was very hot, and then with the fire that you seen all the ashes going everywhere and it was settling in the street on cars and stuff. And the people that lived inside was able to go and be in their air conditioning or take a shower and get out. But what about the people that lived outside? What about the air that they was breathing in those ashes? What about the heat stroke that people were suffering? They couldn't go get under shade. And now it's starting to rain and it's getting colder. So, I know both events is really not stuck on environment, but both of them is leading to environment. And so that's where my mind is at, environment. How can we share the environment where everybody can live and not be ridiculed or downtrodden because of their social status? How can the environmental groups come together to bring on, let's say, the way the houseless community is approached and to help them to become productive once again? Nobody had to answer them. I'm asking a hard question. Because that's what this is all about. That's what it's all about, because houseless people do live in an environment. In reality, they do trash the environment, but because they don't have no means to put it nowhere, to do nothing with it. So is this a new fad, a new direct action thing that the environmentalists are saying, hey, we tired of the government not helping these people out. Look at what they being inadvertently forced to do. So what can we as a community, an organization, a campaign, or a city, a state, a country do for this? Because it's really sad that we're the richest country in the world and we got people trying to survive and being made a mock of.
I really hear what you're saying, Ibrahim, and I wish I could work on that every day. I feel, you know, the heat. I was very aware of people that I passed on my bike on in tents, and you know, to hear people talk about the garbage, and they don't, you know, it's the lack of realization about there's no garbage pickup, you know. Think about it. You know, it's so much about putting ourselves in other people's shoes and moccasins. And, you know, that's, I think, one of the things, we're just striving for unity. And one way to get that is through understanding. And knowing what the other organizations are doing, the people that are concerned, makes more connections. And we just have to work together. We're very powerful together.
We have about 4 minutes left of the show. There was a vote at City Council today. I think it's important to mention as part of our show tonight. So, Anthony, can you lead us out with what happened with the vote today?
But before you say that, after he said, I want everybody to give their information and see where they can come to the meetings or to the events and stuff, okay? And how to get in contact with your bank.
Yeah, so I'll try to be quick with this, but essentially, this past, a week ago today, the City Council took up a proposal to renew Portland's mandatory renter relocation assistance law, which was passed last year as an emergency measure. It mandates that when a landlord gives a no-cause eviction, so an eviction for no stated reason or refuses to renew a lease, or when they raise the rent by more than 10% over a year and force the tenant to move out, so an economic eviction, they have to pay that tenant $2,900 to $4,500, depending on the size of the apartment, to help pay for moving costs, first and last month's rent at the new apartment, stuff like that. And we've gotten a ton of testimony from the renters who we work with saying that for a lot of people, this has helped save them from losing their homes. And unfortunately, it hasn't helped everybody. We have organizers in Portland Tenants United who have become unhoused while working with us and continue to work with us. So this is also, you know, a struggle that's very personal for us as well. But this law is currently sort of It's being temporarily extended. It's going to be before the city council again to be made permanent on December 16th. And we're pushing for the rent increase threshold to be reduced to 5%, and for a very major exemption in it, the single unit exemption. Landlords who only own one unit are exempted from having to pay RELO. We believe all tenants who need RELO should get it. So we encourage folks to call the city council and tell them that, I mean, this is an issue that's extremely related to this issue of displacement and houselessness in the city, and it needs to be made permanent and stronger now.
All right. Thank you. Now, can we all go around, do a round robin, and give one last quick minute, not a minute, quick second,
20 second
thing on how to contact y'all and name of your event and what's happening.
Great. This is Adrienne Basie. I can be found on Twitter at Adri Basie, A-D-R-I-E-B as in boy, A-S-E-Y.
Kathleen Gioze, I'm not going to repeat my difficult email, but we'll follow up after the event with contact info, and maybe we can come back and provide some next steps and outcomes. Thanks so much.
Anthony Benchvinga with Portland Tenants United. You can find us on Facebook or email us at info@pdxtu.org. You can also become a member at pdxtu.org/join.
Bonnie McKinley, Stand Together Under One Roof, this Saturday, October 14th. 1907 Northeast 44th. My name is Bonnie McKinley. My email address is go2350pdx@gmail.com. Please call me if you have questions. 503-705-1943.
Thank you to all of our guests. We had a great hour, very powerful. Thank you for our callers. Please stay tuned and listen for us next month at 6 p.m., second Wednesday of the month. Great show, everybody. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us tonight.
Thanks so much for having us on your show.
Thank you.
Sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Indira Valley, Salo, and DJ Mami Miami, and a benefit for Pueblo Unido PDX on October 13th at Cider Riot in Portland. The benefit for Pueblo Unido PDX is a night of music.